भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः विष्णुवराय कृष्णप्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीहरि भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामने नमस्ते सरस्वतदेव गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्येश चरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 10 chapter 25 verse 3 Aho Sri Mada Mahatmyam Gopanam Kanana Okasam Krishnam Martyam Upasritya Ye Chakrur Deva Hilanam Aho Sri Mada Mahatmyam Gopanam Kananaukasam Krishnam Martyam Upasritya Ye Chakrur Deva Hilanam Aho Sri Aho Jasi Sri because of opulence Mada intoxication Mahatmyam great extent Gopanam of the cowherds Kanana in the forests Okasam who dwell Krishnam Krishna Martyam an ordinary human Upasritya taking shelter of Yei who Chakru have committed Deva against the demigods Helanam offense. Translation Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. Her part, of course, Indra was really saying that the coward man had offended him, Indra, by taking shelter of Krishna, whom Indra considered to be a martya, a mortal. This was certainly a gross miscalculation on Indra's part. Text 4. Their taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to quit great ocean material existence in the false boats of fruit of ritual sacrifices. Translation Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. They're taking shelter of Krishna. It's just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of fruit of ritual sacrifice. So, this is, of course, the description of Indra's bewilderment in this pastime. And sometimes we may wonder why is it that Indra can become bewildered by Krishna. Of course, we can ask the same thing about Lord Brahma. Why did Brahma become bewildered about the identity of Krishna? Because Indra and Brahma are servants of the Supreme Lord. And they've been given those positions because of their qualification. Just like in this country, if you get elected as the prime minister or whatever, you must have some sort of qualification. So they get appointed are selected by the Supreme Lord, even though they are jivas, to take up great responsibility in this material world in the subject of Dharma. Because we know the Devatas are instituting the orders of the Lord and they uphold the rules of Dharma. And whenever the Asuras attack, they fight back because the Asuras don't like Dharma. And then if they cannot handle the situation, they pray to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord comes as avatar, and he restores Dharma. So the Devatas very well understand the nature of Dharma. And of course we know in the higher planets, from Svarga above, sattva is very predominant. And sattva guna obviously means that one has controlled senses and knowledge and respect for scriptures and etc. So it is rather surprising that we see that Brahma and Indra both become bewildered about Krishna. Since they are devotees of the Lord. So of course one reason is that because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, if he wants, he can bewilder anybody. And he can bewilder even Lord Balaram. What to speak of devatas and devotees. Even the Supreme Lord he can bewilder if he wants to. So, of course, the Lord does not do this under normal circumstances, just to confuse people and put them in illusion, make them suffer. That's not the purpose of the Lord's bewilderment. He may do this for certain pastimes, lila. So we cannot call it a real bewilderment, just as we cannot call the bewilderment of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra a real bewilderment. Because he is also a great devotee of the Lord and he's a Nitya Siddha. So how can he fall under material bewilderment, which means tamagun? Nitya Siddha devotees cannot come under tamagun. So Arjuna's bewilderment such that he throws down his bow and arrow and says, I'm not going to fight. This is under the Supreme Lord. So it's not the normal maya. It's not the maha maya of the Lord. It's the yoga maya. Potency of the Lord, hiding certain aspects from the devotees. So that we have to understand in all of these different stories, where the devatas themselves seem to commit big mistakes in relation to Krishna. So these all have a purpose. And what is the purpose of bewildering Arjuna? So Bhagavad Gita can get spoken. So there's a purpose behind there. And it's to illustrate to the material world that under great pressure, most people become bewildered. Not all people, but most people will get bewildered under confusing circumstances and stress and whatever. So he gives the example of Arjuna. He makes him the example for everybody. But at the same time, why he has to choose Arjuna? Why doesn't he choose an ordinary soldier or somebody in the battlefield? No, he chooses Arjuna because Arjuna is qualified to understand the teachings and he is a great friend of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord likes to display the glories of his own devotees the most of all. So therefore he speaks to Arjuna and glorifies him. And Arjuna receives the teachings with great joy. So in this case, of course, we see that the Lord also has his purposes for this type of bewilderment of Lord Indra. And what it points out ultimately is the supreme nature, the supreme status of Krishna over everybody. At the same time, of course, the people of Vrindavan, this is not an illustration for the people of Vrindavan because people of Vrindavan don't think of Krishna as God anyway. So he's not pointing out to them that Krishna is superior to everybody else and he is above the devatas. That's not his purpose as far as the Brajavasis are concerned. He's not concerned with that. That's not his goal. He has other intentions there. And one of the intentions, of course, is to satisfy all of the Brajavasis and give them protection. At the same time, allow them to see him continuously. So, of course, when Krishna held up the Govardhan Hill for 7 days, then everyone could see him continuously with no break. Normally, Krishna, they cannot see Krishna continuously. Nanda and Yasoda and the elders and others, they cannot see Krishna all day. Krishna goes out in the fields in the morning and he comes back only in the evening. So that, and when he's he's in separation from them, they feel great anxiety. And then when he comes back, they're very joyful again. But then again, Krishna goes to bed, and then again he disappears. So there's this always this interruption. So in order to fulfill them continuously, therefore for 7 days he stood there, and everyone could see him. So in this way he fulfilled their desires, and by this they got great bliss. And not just one, but simultaneously all the different people and all different relationships and rasas, they could see Krishna and become satisfied in their particular rasa. So the cowherd boys were there and they were completely happy with Krishna, and the elders were there with Vatsalya rasa, and the gopis were there also with Madhurya rasa, and they were all very satisfied with Krishna holding up the mountain. That's why he satisfied everyone simultaneously. Usually he cannot do that, or doesn't do that in his lila. If he's with the gopis, then certainly Madhya Yasoda is not saying that, and Nanda is not saying that. It's separate. Vatsalya rasa and Madhurya rasa do not go along together. So they're separate usually. But here everybody can see Krishna simultaneously and develop their particular relationship. So, of course, that displays the extraordinary nature of Krishna. He is the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, described in the first verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, the whole work Rupa Goswami describes the ocean of rasa, caused by bhakti. But what is the source of that rasa? It is Krishna. So the first verse glorifies Krishna. Why? Because he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of all possible rasas in their most perfect form, complete form, which are categorized in the work as 12 different rasas, 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. So Krishna is completely made out of rasa. Sweet rasa. So Krishna is sweetness in 12 different ways, completely, and is satisfying to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So he displayed that by standing there, and everybody, all the different people, could look at him and develop their relationship. So in this way, simultaneously, he showed all these that he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. That's another reason. Another reason, of course, is to show that the form of Krishna and Vrindavan is very, very special, and it's also very high, and therefore very few people can understand it. Just as Brahma Samhita says, that the sages, millions of sages, undergo tapas and meditation and pranayama for many, many, many lifetimes. And then after that, what do they get? What is the realization? They may realize the toe of the Supreme Lord. Realize the little toe. That's the extent of what they can realize of Krishna, Govinda. After millions of births. Realization of Govinda, Krishna, is very, very rare. And of course, Adurlabham, he is Adurlabha for all the Vedeshu, Adurlabham. But he is, he's Durlabha for the people studying the Vedas, he's Adurlabha for the devotee. But even with the devotees, Krishna is very rare. So Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar Devotion that normally the relationship with the Supreme Lord is Dasya Rasa with Vishnu. That's what most people end up with. So to get a relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, very, very rare. So therefore, the cowherd men and women, the gopas and the gopis of Vrindavan, are very, very rare devotees. Because they have Krishna's constant association in a very intimate way. But this form is very, very rare. People cannot appreciate it. And therefore, he illustrates that. Even Indra cannot appreciate that form. And Brahma, he cannot appreciate that form. It's very difficult for them. Yes, they pray. They understand Vishnu and they pray to Vishnu and they go to the Milky Ocean and they pray and they and Brahma hears the sound of Vishnu and he understands who Vishnu is and when the Lord appears with four hands, all the devatas understand this is Vishnu, this is the Supreme Lord. And then of course he turned into a small child with two hands and then he grew up in Vrindavan. But the nature of Krishna is such that, in Vrindavan, is such that he becomes so human that it's very surprising to the devatas that even they wonder, is this really the Supreme Lord? Is this the Vishnu that we saw before? And they get very surprised. So the Brahma understood the whole thing, but nevertheless, when he saw Krishna stuffing food in the mouths of his cowherd friends and Krishna taking the food from them, and Krishna not acting in a very proper way, not very formal, very informal, and he had food all over his body. But then he thought, how can this be God? It doesn't look like God. He's just a little boy. So similarly, Indra, again, sees this cow, all these cowherd people, and how can the Lord appear with the cowherd people in the forest, living in the forest with the cows, And Krishna himself is just a little boy, running around in the fields. And he covers himself, paints himself with the mud and the minerals of the forest and decorates himself with leaves and puts a peacock feather in his head. And he's playing with the boys in the forest and wrestling. So how can that be God? So this is the this is illustrated. Even the devatas, even though they understand the Lord and they are devotees of the Lord, their relationship with Krishna is very remote. Yes, they can understand Vishnu, and they're considered actually to have Dasya Rasa, the devatas. We see in the some of the stories here, the devatas come down and praise the Supreme Lord, or whatever, the Lord appears before them. So they have a relationship with the Lord, and they do have, they are also elevated, and they're considered to have developed prema also. So normally they cannot fall under illusion as well. But still, even those who are in prema, many cannot understand Krishna. And it's difficult for them to understand Krishna as God and appreciate Krishna as God, even if they have prema. So therefore, all the people of Vishnu Loka, they cannot appreciate Krishna. They appreciate Vishnu. And they will wonder why the devotees are not so enthusiastic about worshipping Vishnu. If you have a devotee like Gopal Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, somehow he's not really satisfied with Vishnu. It doesn't move him so much. And everybody else is serving Vishnu very enthusiastically, but he doesn't have that same mood. And everybody's wondering what's wrong with him. But when he sees Krishna, then his heart melts. So it is very rare to have a realization of Krishna. So the devatas, including Brahma and Indra, are like this. So they are devotees of the Lord. Still, it is very difficult for them to appreciate the nature of Krishna. So here he says, these people are simply cowherd people, and Krishna is just a marcha, an ordinary human being. Because as Krishna, he particularly shows himself very human. And now as Rama, also Krishna has a human-like form. He looks like us, except he's green. And Krishna, of course, also looks like he's blackish. So what's the difference? And we can say also Rama is Martya in one sense. But Rama also displays very explicitly so many wonderful powers. Huh? And he acts in a very regal way, like a king. Huh? So it invokes Dasya Rasa and great awe and veneration in everyone. So that's Rama. So though he is God of human form, at the still time he displays powers of God, Aishwarya. And people appreciate that. But Krishna appears as a human being and he does not display, he hides all those powers and he only displays them periodically as when he lifts Govardhan Hill. And otherwise he hides his powers from everybody. And for instance, he looks like he's very helpless with Mother Yasoda. And when he's hungry, he'll cry and cry, and Mother Yasoda have to come and comfort him and feed him. But God should not be dependent on food. God is the one who gives food to everybody else. But yet Krishna is depending on Mother Yasoda to get some food. And when Krishna doesn't get the food, then he gets angry. Well, we don't expect God to get angry. God is completely sama. He's completely transcendental to anything. And yet Krishna becomes so disturbed. When Mother Yasoda doesn't feed him, and he'll kick the yogurt pot and spread, give the yogurt to the monkeys out of anger. So how can it be God? And similarly, Brahma saw Krishna playing with his friends and he's smearing food all over his body and everything like that. So how can this be God? He's all dirty. Food all, everywhere. And he's simply playing around with his friends frivolously, joking. Krishna has a very, very human-like nature and activities. So therefore they cannot appreciate. Nevertheless, those who are in Vrindavan, they appreciate Krishna. But even they do not appreciate Krishna as God. They appreciate him as their son or their friend or the lover. They don't see him as God. So that is why they have such great love for him, because they don't see him as God. But to get to that high level, they have to be very, very qualified. That love has to be very intense so that it covers up the nature of God completely. So Krishna sometimes jokes with the people there and he displays his powers. He will kill the demons and everything like that. Or he'll lift up Govardhan Hill. And then, of course, no small child can put Govardhan Hill on his little finger for 7 days. That's impossible. So he shows his power even to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Yet their love is so strong for Krishna that they won't see that. They will refuse to admit that he is God. He cannot be God. Why? Because he's the son of Nanda and Yasoda. He can't be God. And so they forget immediately those things. Or they'll give some excuse. Like they'll say, okay, yes, Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill. But actually it wasn't Krishna. Balaram was also helping, and actually it was Nanda Maharaj, because he's worshipped Vishnu for so long, and it's only because of the Nanda Maharaj worshipping Vishnu that all this is possible for Krishna. So therefore, and of course, they understood that Garga Muni had come, and he said, you know, this child is very special, and you have to protect him very nicely, because he will protect you. He has been empowered by Vishnu himself. Vishnu will act through him because of his previous worship of Vishnu. So therefore, if there's some great extraordinary event and Krishna, even though he's a small child, may kill demons and lift up Govardhan Hill, whatever, then they'll ultimately conclude, yes, that's because Vishnu is acting through him. But they'll never see him as God. So to get to that stage of very intense love, which hides or eclipses any display of Krishna's powers, is very, very rare. And even if the devatas appreciate Krishna, and they do recognize Krishna in Vrindavan as God, they still understand, yes, he is also God. They cannot absorb themselves in that same particular pastime. So it is very rare. So anyway, the cowherd men are there in Vrindavan with Krishna, and Krishna persuades them to stop the sacrifice to Indra, which is actually, according to Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3, Krishna says you should worship the devatas, and then you get the rain, and the rain gives the crops, and then you eat the food. So this is basically what Nanda Maharaj is going to do. Let us worship Indra because he gives the rain and the grass grows and the cows eat the grass and the cows make milk and we get the milk and we change it into butter and yogurt and this we sell this and this is how we survive. This is our livelihood. So they're following Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's other instruction very, very nicely. Yet, they stopped that. And instead of following that tradition, the Vedic tradition of sacrifice to the different devatas, when Krishna said, don't do it, and he gave all sorts of stupid arguments, they believed him. He quotes from Sankhya and Karma Mimamsa and all these asat philosophies that Krishna rejects ultimately. And then they accept Krishna. They accept his rationality, even though it's not very reasonable. Why? Because Krishna. They have such affection for Krishna, they'll do whatever he wants. So out of great devotion to Krishna, yes, they're willing to give up dharma, regular dharma, and their customs and whatever. They're willing to sacrifice that if Krishna is pleased and Krishna has something else, he wants something else. So this incident also shows the great devotion of these people. They're so devoted to Krishna that they're willing to give up dharma. Just as the gopis also. They're willing to serve Krishna in spite of the fact that if they do so, then they get condemned by their families and dharma and society and they get rejected and everything. But they don't care. They only want to please Krishna. So similarly, the people here. Again, Krishna says, okay, we won't do this sacrifice or whatever is useless. Let us worship Govardhan Hill instead. Then they follow because Krishna. They want to obey. Even though he's only a small child. They're all so completely in love with Krishna so much that they'll do anything to please him. So that also is illustrated here. And Krishna, say, it's a test of Krishna. And of course, they even though it is unreasonable that they should do so, they do it. Because Krishna desires it. So that is the intensity of their love. And what Indra says is actually very true. Yes, they surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna. They surrendered to Krishna completely. Who is acting like and in the form of an ordinary human being. And why? Because he is an ordinary human being in the sense he has got a form like that, and they're very attached to that form. And in the process, they may offend the devatas, as he said here, helanam, deva helanam, they ignore the devatas. Yes, Krishna said do it, they'll do it, and they will ignore the devatas. So Krishna to them is more important than anybody else, even the rules of dharma, or whatever. As Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharma parijaja, give up all dharmas, simply surrender unto me. So they're willing to do that also. That is the greatness of their love. So Indra here is looking at Krishna, and his observations are in one sense correct from the normal point of view of society and dharma, etc. These people have given up the principles of dharma, which even Krishna has enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says worship the devatas, has given up that, as mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, Karma Yoga, and they've given it up. And normally, people like the cowherd people, they should follow dharma. They're not qualified for jnana or yoga. They should follow the low process. Even Krishna tells Arjuna, you're not qualified for jnana. You do karma yoga. You're a kshatriya in a mode of passion. So what to speak of the vaishyas who are a mixture of passion and ignorance? They should also follow karma yoga. So Indra says these people are all foolish. They've become completely bewildered. Because of their prosperity, they've got some wealth. Now they become completely proud of that wealth and they're giving up all of their rules and regulations. So this is actually a practical observation, a true observation. And Narada Muni makes the same observation in relation to the sons of Kubera. These two sons, they were playing around with the women in the water and they disrespected Narada Muni. They are intoxicated with their wealth and their position. And therefore they cannot give proper respect to the saintly people. So this is actually a true observation in society. When one gets lots of power and wealth and possessions, then one becomes intoxicated with that. And one will ignore everybody else and commit aparads against everybody else. So he's saying they become intoxicated with wealth because they got some milk and from the cows, and then they got some money and everything. So now, because of that intoxication with pride, they are offending the devatas and giving up dharma, etc. And we'll see that in the modern world also. People become wealthy, then they become irreligious. They don't care about religion anymore. And it's a common symptom in society. The more we get comforts and everything, the more we give up religion. That's a symptom of the modern age. The churches are empty. Everybody's feeling comfortable materially, then they no longer go to the church, the temple or whatever. They feel completely satisfied. We don't have to worship anymore. So this observation and on the lower level is actually true. If one follows an ordinary human being, ordinary human being says do this and do that and everybody follows, then we say, yeah, that's completely illusion. They should follow scripture. And that's what Indra says. Yes, they're becoming bewildered. And they don't want to follow scripture anymore. Even karma yoga or karma kanda, they don't want to follow because of their pride and their wealth, etc. And instead, they will listen to some human being who has a new philosophy, like Krishna. Krishna has a new philosophy, go worship a hill instead of the devatas. What is that? It's not Vedic. And so they're following this ordinary human being and they're doing like that. So, of course, that's the same in the modern world. Philosophers or people saying they're very religious will say worship the eggplant instead of Tulsi or whatever like this. grow eggplants instead of Tulsi trees. Yeah? They're more productive and you can at least eat it and get some, enjoy it. Like that. So in this way, people give up scripture and they concoct their own philosophy. So that's another aspect of quite true. And even he goes to the extent in the next verse to say that doing this, actually taking shelter of a human being instead of following the scriptures, is very foolish. It is like people who give up jnana for karma. Though, actually, he's criticizing them for giving up karma and going to concocted religion. At least karma has got religious sanction, the Vedas. So just as one gives up karma and then Bhada Bhulurman takes to some concocted worship. So in the same way, he's saying there are people who are fixed in the level of jnana, transcendental knowledge of the self, they give up that utter bewilderment and take to the process of karma. And of course in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna ultimately says, yes, jnana is higher than karma, and that's the goal of karma. So we cannot separate the two. If we're going to do karma yoga, then the goal has to be jnana. If it is not, then it is also useless. So it gets condemned. So in one sense, what Indra says here is very true and normal. If we're dealing with human beings, etc. But at the same time, it's not normal because this is Krishna. So therefore it's completely wrong. These cowherd men are not ordinary people, and Krishna is not an ordinary human being. And it is not wrong if they give up karma kanda or gyan kanda or yoga in favor of simply following the order of Krishna. That is bhakti. Bhakti is higher. So the principle of surrender to the road is the highest thing. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's the supreme principle. To simply act out of love for Krishna. So therefore, they are not foolish. They've given up karma and gyan and yoga in favor of simply devotion to Krishna. So actually, they're not foolish at all. They're the best, the highest people. They're not intoxicated with prosperity in the normal sense. They are intoxicated with prema or Krishna. And therefore, they're willing to do anything, even reject all the rules of dharma, karma, gyan, yoga, etc. for Krishna. Okay. Question?
What's the explanation for Krishna getting hungry when he doesn't get hungry
at Akrama? So actually, yes, he has no material hunger at all. And even spiritually, he is independent because God is, you know, self-sufficient. So he shouldn't depend on anybody else. But then again, as in Nectar Devotion, the sixth quality of bhakti is Krishna Karshani. It attracts Krishna, and Krishna surrenders to the devotees even, even though he's God. He becomes attracted to the great devotees because of their prema. So though he is independent, Krishna is dependent upon the prema of his devotees. And so if he becomes hungry, what is he hungry for? It is not milk. It is the affection of Mother Yasoda. So when he drinks the milk of Mother Yasoda, he's actually relishing her prema. That's the explanation of Vishnu Chakravarti. He is hungry for prema, for the affection of the devotee. He appreciates that and relishes that.
Whose offense is much more greater, Brahma or Indra? Because you can see Krishna forgave Indra and didn't forgive Brahma, he ignored him.
In a sense, he ignored Brahma, but he didn't actually not forgive him also. Ultimately, because as I said, Krishna has extraordinary power, he can bewilder anybody, and he did this for his pastimes. One of the reasons for the bewildering Brahma is that when they were having their lunch, then Krishna and the cowherd boys were joking with each other, feeding each other and joking away, and then Krishna saw some monkeys, and then he thought, there'll be a little fun here. The monkeys come and start interrupting our meal also. But then his shaktis, Krishna's Leela Shakti, thought, we'll do something better than that. Here comes Lord Brahma. We'll create a big interruption to the meal. And then all the calves disappeared, and then Krishna had to run off to get the calves. And when he came back, there's nobody left. And then for 1 year, there was a big interruption. In this way, the Leela Shakti of Krishna interfered in that. And Brahma was involved in that. So there were several purposes there. So we cannot ultimately blame Lord Brahma also, because we see that he is the, in the universe, he is a very, very exalted devotee. He's at the very, very top. So we cannot really blame him. We have to take it all as the Leela of Supreme Lord only.
Are there any demigods in Goloka?
Demigods? In a sense there is, because we see them in their daily pastimes. The gopis and Radha are worshipping, they're doing Surya Puja, worshipping the sun goddess. And here on earth, for instance, the young unmarried gopis are worshipping Katyayani, who is an expansion of Durga. And of course, during the Rasa Leela, the devatas are also very joyful, and they can see Krishna dance. They can't see the whole Leela, but they can see Krishna dance in the Rasa Leela, and they're very joyful with that. They admire that. So periodically, we do see the devatas worshipped, and we also see them personally present to some degree. However, we should understand that when the inhabitants of the spiritual world worship devatas or whatever, we should not think of them as normal devatas, like the material Durga, for instance. Because material Durga cannot fulfill the desires of exalted devotees like the gopis. So therefore the explanation of that Durga actually is spiritual Durga, aspect of the Yoga Maya potency who makes arrangements for Krishna's pastimes, not the material one. So if there are devatas in the spiritual world, they're not the same as the material ones. They may have the similar functions, but they're all spiritual in the spiritual world, and they're devotees in the spiritual world, not the devatas with devotees who have material bodies in the material world, operating the material world and supplying material needs. Everything in the spiritual world is to satisfy prema, increase the prema. So therefore the appearance of devatas in the spiritual world will be only for increasing the pastimes of love. That's also, they're all, it's all spiritual, they're nothing material. Oh, in regards to the Krishna being unresponsive to Lord Brahma, this is an example of his inscrutability. He is very grave and no one can understand what's going on in his mind or his heart. Sometimes he'll just be like that, nobody can understand. What's he thinking? Is he indifferent or is he thinking about something? Nobody can understand him. So this is one of his 64 qualities. He's inscrutable. Cannot understand what's going on in his mind.
You see, later pastime, Indra, he went, when Krishna wants the man to take the porridge off the tree, Indra stopped him.
Yeah, again. In spite of the fact that he already learned the lesson once, and still he does it again.
And before that, Indra approached Krishna and said, please can you kill
Yeah. And then after that, he fights with him again.
Yeah. He saw that Krishna penetrated through the fire fort and all this.
Yeah.
And he killed
Yeah. So we normally that would be very foolish for a normal person, even a normal person in the world, to react in that way, which is very, very foolish, very, very materialistic. So again, we just have to take that as the Shakti of the Lord, or as pastimes only. I think that's remarked by in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says that if we see the devatas under bewilderment, we should not take it in the normal way as being material, but actually it's the will of the Lord only. Just like Jaya and Vijaya in the spiritual world, how could they become angry at the Kumaras who are also devotees of the Lord and actually incarnations of the Lord? Again, will of the Lord. That they would become bewildered and then start cursing the Kumaras. Any question?
You mentioned that it's great for the boiling to be taken one of the five primary expressions of Krishna, but isn't it that we're originally from even Krishna's planet and we're all Krishna's servants by nature?
So what's the question?
How can it be really close to have a relationship with Krishna in one of those five primary ways when we're originally Krishna's servants?
How can it be?
Rare.
No. To get the higher rasas is rare. Dasya with Vishnu is common. That's the common rasa. So Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma, and in this form, displaying all of his rasas, etc. So normally it is avatar forms and Vishnu who appear. And therefore people generally develop worship of Vishnu. Concentrate on understanding the Supreme Lord, etc. And they develop those relationships like that. If you want to say, we can say that maybe is a constitutional nature anyway. So we can say that the number of devotees with Krishna may be in a minority in comparison with the devotees in relation with Vishnu in the spiritual world. But that's just to say that it is since Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma, and in that sense it is rare. And the other way is, of course, that it is difficult for other devotees to appreciate that Krishna's human-like nature. And they want to have a worshipable God who is great. That's the normal preference. So those atmas who have this more intense type of desire, they have a relationship in this way.
Who?
How is it possible for demigods to see Krishna in Rasa dance? Because in
Oh, well, Ananya Bhakti, of course, is a very general term. It's the same as Sudha Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. So, by devotion, with pure devotion, we can say, ultimately, we get to the level of prema. We may see Krishna or we may see a Vishnu, depending on our desire and our inclinations. Now, if we are seeing Vishnu, and we develop realization and affection for Vishnu, and we develop Dasya Rasa, etc., in Ananya Bhakti, that's possible. Then still, we can also appreciate Krishna to some extent, but then we will appreciate him more for his powerful aspect than anything else, and his display of powers. And it is said that the devatas, if they can see Krishna, again, they'll appreciate more his powers than anything else. And they cannot understand so well these how the cowherd people are having pastimes with Krishna. They cannot appreciate so much. They'll appreciate his powers instead. So they can see Krishna to some extent, but they'll see the Aishwarya aspect rather than anything else. Okay.